Welcome to episode 26 of the Rescue Swimmer Mindset Podcast. I am not Cody Wright. All right, for all those of you who follow the Rescue Swimmer Mindset on Instagram or on any of our social media, you may have seen this jamoke called Vince. And you may have been wondering, who the heck is this and what happened to Cody Wright? Well, not to worry, Cody Wright is alive and healthy. However, he's currently working on developing the company and releasing his own program, so we decided it'd be a great opportunity for me to introduce myself and let you guys know who the hell is Vincent. So bear with me. I know I interrupted your routine, your safe haven during these corona times, but my mom says I'm a really cool guy, so based on that reference alone, hopefully I have a great set of podcasts lined up for you guys in the next couple weeks. There's a lot of information and topics that Cody has not yet dove into, which I would like to share with you guys as a former helicopter rescue swimmer. That being said, for this episode, we're going to keep things simple, and I'm just going to tell you guys my story and my history in the Coast Guard. So I started my Coast Guard career at the age of 19. I joined the Coast Guard, of all places, out of Montreal, Canada. So I'm actually a French Canadian. And the reason I joined the Coast Guard is because I was actually a tree planter in Western Canada. Tree planting is a very Canuck job where we load up these bags on our hips with a bunch of little saplings and we run up a mountain and we are just throwing these trees in holes and we get paid per tree. It's a very physically demanding job. Anyway, one day we had an incident where one of the workers had a tree fall on his leg and severely lacerated his femoral artery. So we had a medevac, and who else came to save them except a Canadian version of a helicopter rescue swimmer, which are called the SARTECs, search and rescue technicians. So I was the first on scene for this incident, and you know, I was wildly underqualified for such a medical emergency. And basically the SARTEC came out of the heavens, and I looked at that job like, wow, this guy is 100% the savior of the situation, a well-trained individual, and it definitely appealed to me. So I started looking into those similar careers, and of course, that's when the movie The Guardian showed up into my life. And let's be honest, after watching Kevin Costner and Ashton Kutcher in a Hollywood thriller like that, who wouldn't want to join the Coast Guard? So that's what I did at the age of 19. My first station after boot camp was actually in Hawaii, but my boat, which was a 378, one of those long cutters, was deployed in Japan. So out of boot camp, I go to Hawaii, and a week later, I'm in Japan, just 19-year-old Canadian, total life changer. So for a month or two, we're patrolling the coast of Japan and even like Russian waters, and I remember I was wildly underdressed for the Russian climate, leaving from Hawaii. And eventually, on our return back to our home port of Hawaii, we stopped over in Guam to refuel and to restock our food stores. And I gotta be honest with you, if you guys ever get the opportunity, go to Guam. Guam is a better version of Hawaii, as in there's less people, and the underwater world to this date is unparalleled in my opinion. I mean, if you've ever seen the movie Finding Nemo, the fact is you're rarely ever gonna see that ever again because of the coral bleaching and climate change and all the effects of pollution. But Guam, in my experience, is the last underwater frontier. Definitely worth checking out if you haven't already. The water is like a hot tub, fish galore, and it's just beautiful. So we finally get back to Hawaii, and that's where you start repairing the boat from that long deployment. And I actually start to get qualified as a boarding team member. So that's basically where you're, you know, going on board vessels to check for drugs, to check for their fishing licenses, and making sure all their catches are in order. So I'm training for that. And then we finally do deploy to Alaska. I only do one of those boardings. One of the things you have to do to become a boarding team member, which I would highly not recommend, is pepper spraying. So you have to experience pepper spraying in case you ever have to administer it to somebody that's non-compliant on a vessel. I gotta be honest with you, pepper spraying is not the worst pain I've ever been in my life, but it's hands down by far the most physically uncomfortable I've ever been in my life. This may have been because the training officer sprayed half of the pepper spray into my mouth, which made it damn near impossible to breathe without having like that burning sensation in your lungs. Or it may have been the fact that, you know, it just really burns your eyes. I remember they put a fan out so you can air out your eyes and hopefully take away from the pain. But the second I would put my face in the fan, then my lungs would like reactivate with the pepper spray, so I couldn't breathe. So it was either a terrible burning sensation in the eyes or the inability to breathe. And I remember thinking, wow, a lot of people in the Coast Guard are boarding team member qualified, but very few have what it takes to become a helicopter rescue swimmer. Yet I am really struggling during this pepper spray. I don't know if I'll make it through swimmer school. Nevertheless, I got qualified very quickly on my boat, and I think it took me about 6 months before I was able to go to the airman program, which was in Barbers Point, Hawaii, on the southwestern part of Oahu. So I report to this airman program, and I recall no airman had graduated from Hawaii in over 5 years, and I was going to be the last class before they switched the program over to airmen going directly to swimmer school and doing their preparatory training there instead. So I'm just reporting for a 4-month airman program, and I'll be honest, these swimmers were sick and tired of their candidates not making it, and they had made a point that me and the other rescue swimmer candidate would make it this time. So no more surfing PT for the airmen. It was gonna be grueling regimens only. We're gonna go to the pool 3 times a week at least, and we would just basically get worked. And teaser, my airman program, in my opinion, was a lot more difficult than rescue swimmer school. I remember one of the first days I was there, two rescue swimmers took us for a 2-hour-long PT workout. Then after that 2 hours, another rescue swimmer shows up and he says, hey, I'm gonna take these airmen for pole sprints. And that's where you basically do some sprints in between these telephone poles. So we do that for another 1/2 hour. And then the night crew rescue swimmers show up and they're excited for these new airmen. So they go, let's go for another workout. And now we do the mountain goat mile, which is just a leg killer. And I recall just being on my last lap of this mountain goat mile, and I was like, there's no way I could survive rescue swimmer school. And I finished this mountain goat mile, and the rescue swimmer at the time says, you should expect this every day at rescue swimmer school. Fast forward, I'm in North Carolina at the Aviation Survival Technician School, rescue swimmer school. And every day of that 4-month program, I was just expecting another one of these mountain goat type days. But it never came. And it was just a mental torment. Aside from that though, personally, rescue swimmer school was one of the best times of my life. And I think a lot of this was due to the camaraderie in my class. We were basically 11 once, you know, those initial dropouts occur in the first week or two. You know, either those people that just simply don't belong there, people that have prior injuries, so they fail out because of that, or just people that quit. After that, we were 11, and those 11 stood until the one man, which is, I'd say, about halfway through school. And we were just a bunch of goofballs, to be honest with you. Not in the sense that we didn't realize the responsibility of a rescue swimmer, and not in the sense that we didn't focus in when the job needed to get done. Simply put, they were just a bunch of goofballs when it came to surviving that grueling training, those like grinding underwaters. Everyone always had a sense of humor about it. I mean, I remember one day we were just getting beat down with underwaters, and one of the airmen who's from California, a surfer, just had a great sense of humor, and he goes, oh, these instructors just think they like own the water, brah. But the reality is you can't own the water, dude. It's God's water, man. Anyway, another one, he always had a toy car. So whenever we were doing underwaters at the bottom of the pool, he would just, you know, drive his little car at the bottom of the pool. So all in all, we just had a great sense of humor, which kept things light and kept our mental sane during these challenging moments. So the 4 months of school went by before I knew it. And then came time for our picks. I was amongst the top of the class, so I had picks to either go to North Carolina, Atlantic City, Mobile, Alabama, or Detroit. My top pick would have been North Carolina because there's great SAR cases there. But one of the airmen had a wife who was in the Coast Guard at the time, and he had a newborn kid, so he was going to get separated from his wife if I did take that station because she was stationed in North Carolina. So of course I wasn't going to do that. So then I was left with Atlantic City, Mobile, Alabama, or Detroit. And I had heard great things about Detroit as like a secret gem air station, so that's where I ended up going. Fast forward again to about 6 weeks into me being stationed in Detroit. And at this point, I feel like I've probably met all the helicopter rescue swimmers. But one morning, I show up in the rescue swimmer locker room. And lo and behold, who do I see but some tall, lengthy, pimply man? And I recall I go, hi. And the man goes, hey. And I go, how's it going? And he goes, pretty good. How are you? And I go, pretty good. And I'm just looking at this person kind of awkwardly because, I'm in the rescue swimmer locker room. There's only about 10 lockers there, and I had never seen this person there before. So I just go, who the hell are you? And he goes, no, oh, I'm Cody. And I go, oh, no, hi, Cody. And he goes, hi. We both go our separate ways, and maybe 20 minutes later, I walk into the rescue swimmer shop, a little shop in Detroit, and who's there working on one of the rafts for the helicopters? It's this guy called Cody again. So I go, hey, Cody. And he goes, hey, Vince. And I just go, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, I'm just, packing up this raft. And I go, oh, cool. Who the hell are you? And Cody goes, I'm Cody. And I go, do you like work here or something? And he goes, yeah, I'm a rescue swimmer here. And I go, well, where the hell have you been? And he goes, oh, well, I was over in Muskegon, like the other air station. So basically, Detroit has a sister air station, more or less, where you go and you serve in the summer. And Cody was smart enough to work there. And in my opinion, it's just a better place to be because you're serving on Lake Michigan, and it's a secluded area. It's just beautiful over there. So I hadn't seen Cody, and this is how we just met. So, over the next couple of weeks, I get to more or less know this person or work with him. And I don't know, I just remember Cody had a way of talking that was just different than everyone. And he was kind of a mystery in that sense. And it really put me off. And I remember I didn't like the guy. I hated him. But my roommate at the time, who was also a rescue swimmer, he kept saying, no, he's a good guy. You just gotta give him a chance, He's good, he's good stuff. So, I started spending more and more time with him, and I kept trying to get these rescue swimmers to come rock climbing with me. But unfortunately, not many of them were into that kind of sport, and it was kind of a drive out of there. I think it was a probably a 50-minute drive from the air station. So I was kind of desperate for a climbing buddy. You need somebody to hold the other end of the rope. So sure enough, I turned to Cody. Wasn't exactly excited about it, but that's how we got to know each other. And sure enough, the guy grew on me. He's a driven individual, such as myself. We were kind of both looking beyond our rescue swimmer careers. We had both started taking college courses while we were serving, and we were both excited about joining college after our service. So, the friendship grew from there, and I served the remainder of my time with Cody. And then came time for me to go to college, where I studied business management and outdoor education. I also spent a lot of my time in college pursuing videography and just filmmaking. So that's what led Cody to hit me up a couple months ago about joining him at the Rescue Swimmer Mindset. So, with my background in film, business, and education, we thought it could be a great asset for the company and for these candidates for these elite military schools. So that's where we are today. And looking forward, we're going to continue to give you preparatory training for these types of military courses, but we're also going to be merging our experience into the outdoor industry as well, which is where a lot of my experience is as an outdoor educator with Knowles, as a prior ski patroller, as a first responder, an EMT, and as a free diver. And that's actually why I released that Hold Your Breath Like a Helicopter Rescue Swimmer course. Now, that's actually something I've been meaning to share, because I acquired all my free diving experience after my time in the Coast Guard as a rescue swimmer. And I gotta be honest, oh my God, those underwater drills would have been so much easier if I had that free diving knowledge at the time. And I just recall going through the PADI free diving courses, and I kept thinking back on my days as a rescue swimmer, because underwaters are hands down by far the most challenging part of these elite military schools. I know for a fact that BUDS has a lot of failouts because of the underwaters. But the reality is, though rescue swimmer school is very physically demanding, it really just comes down to the underwater torture. Now, I can't speak about BUDS because I did not attend BUDS. But from what I've understood from friends who have gone through the program, they've described it as physical pain and total physical discomfort, which is very different from rescue swimmer school, where truly our only physical pain, aside from being a little cold, is underwaters. And they certainly are challenging. And I actually remember this rumor, and again, this is just a rumor, probably going to piss some Navy SEALs off nevertheless. So they do these things in rescue swimmer school where they'll often do some inter-service trainings where these Navy SEALs have actually come to rescue swimmer schools to learn from some of the underwaters that we do, so they can kind of, you know, adapt their regiment and their programs in certain ways. And apparently, again, just a rumor, but apparently Navy SEALs came and they were doing just our underwater warm-ups, and they were quite overwhelmed by the difficulty of them. This just goes to show that underwaters is probably the only thing rescue swimmers can really be proud of as a physical ability. So that's why I decided to make that first training, the Hold Your Breath Like a Helicopter Rescue Swimmer program. I've been working very hard on it. I'm very proud of it. It's a lot of valuable knowledge specifically based around free diving that you can use in these elite military schools. I do want to apologize too. We have some Vimeo restrictions. We're pretty new to the video uploading, and we want to give you some cinematic footage that like 4K 1080p. So we're restricted as to how much we can deliver at the same time with our limited budget. So if you are signed up, we just released a class today, and it's called Find Your Happy Place. And it's personally my favorite class because it goes into the mental aspect of underwaters and breath holding, which is, in my opinion, the most challenging part of underwaters. So yeah, go check out that new episode. Feel free to sign up if you haven't already. And as far as COVID goes, you know, try to go outside. The outdoors is definitely something which refreshes the mind. Do some of these breath holding exercises I give in my program. Try to follow Cody's COVID at home regimen to do your own personal workouts. Be active, and ultimately just try to minimize screen time. It definitely hinders your sleep and just your mental sanity. So that's it for this podcast. Jesus, it's a lot of talking to a microphone and not to another person. So thanks for bearing with me. Moving forward, I'm going to have a couple more of these solo podcasts, but we're actually going to have some interviews with some actual rescue swimmers, hopefully a flight mechanic. I'm going to interview a nutritionist about how to eat well for rescue swimmer programs, any kind of elite military training programs, and just, you know, eating healthy in general. So that's something to look forward to in the near future. All right. Well, I don't know how Cody normally ends this, but I'll end it like this, I guess. Oorah! Oorah, people! See you next time.